It's been a week since Australian kids were locked out of the most popular social media platforms under the federal government's world-leading ban for under-16s. In that time, several countries have signalled they'll follow Australia's lead, including Denmark.
When we go into the city at night, there is bouncers who are checking the age of young people to make sure that no one underage get into a party that they're not supposed to be in. In the digital world, we don't have any bouncers and we definitely need that.
That's Denmark's Digital Affairs Minister, Caroline Stage. But while international action builds, teens here in Australia continue to find ways to circumvent the ban. Cam Wilson is a tech reporter and an associate editor at Crikey who's written extensively about the ban. Cam, welcome to Radio National Breakfast.
Good morning. Good to be here.
So let's start looking at some of the international attention this ban has garnered. We've got a couple of countries following Australia's lead. Are any of them getting close to implementing a ban?
Yeah, probably the closest is Malaysia, which is actually introducing a similar ban. So like restricting people under 16 from having social media accounts from the beginning of next year. They kind of jumped on a little bit after us. And then after that, we have other few countries which have indicated their support and said that they want to do something like this. So, for example, Denmark, we just heard, you know, they said we want to do something. They want to restrict people under 15, but they are kind of at the stage of saying the government supports it. We've got a deal, but we have to do consultation. Similar with Norway, similar with, in fact, across the EU, where at EU Parliament, I think like a month back, there was a kind of widespread vote by parliamentarians who were there who said, you know, we kind of support something like this. So I would say at this point, we've got, you know, there are quite a few countries that have indicated their support or taking steps towards it. There's still, I would say, Australia has kind of jumped out first and has generally gone the furthest with the hard 16 ban and no exemptions for parental consent. But yes, other countries say that they want to follow and clearly have been watching closely.
If we have other countries follow suit with similar bans, even if they're not identical, does that have any impact on Australia's ban in terms of having more support pushing back on the tech giants? Obviously, there are a couple of legal challenges underway here in Australia, and that's not affected by international movements. But if you had more countries with similar bans, would that make the tech companies more likely to accept this kind of imposition?
It probably is a broad effect. I would say that, you know, if you look back at 2025, it would be the year that really we decided to change the internet and both through a change of, you know, like developments in technology and changes in expectations that people around the world and platforms have followed have expected that the internet does more to restrict people based on their age because, you know, pretty much since the popularization of home internet in the, you know, late 1990s, early 2000s, it's mostly been an honesty system. You go on any platform and you say, my age is XYZ, and they say, well, we'll just take your word for it. Now that's kind of changing with a lot of the major platforms doing more, in some cases, directly in response to this regulation. In other cases, just because they are clearly developing these systems and realise there is a broader pressure. In terms of Australia's specific challenges, I mean, there's some on constitutional grounds. So both the Digital Freedom Project, which is the first one that was launched, and now Reddit, which has said it will appeal the law as well, or on constitutional grounds. So I'm not sure how these other ones, you know, how this general global push will affect that. And as well, Reddit is also challenging on the idea of whether it is classified as a social media platform under the legislation. So, you know, I think we're dealing with some very specific legal questions there, but no doubt across the world, there is a kind of broader trend.
I'm interested to get your sense, having watched this closely, of how important or influential you think the government's promotion of this ban internationally has had on other countries looking to follow suit. Do you think that, you know, appearances in New York on the sidelines of the UN General Assembly helped garner attention for what Australia is doing? Or is this space just so contentious that everyone's watching what other countries are doing anyway?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely played a role. I mean, having such a high-profile example of a country doing it, I think, you know, clearly starts to pave the way for something like this to happen in other countries. You know, it kind of creates, you know, it's that idea that in the past didn't really happen. And now when you've got one country doing it, I'm sure other countries are asking why not. In fact, we know that the groups who have been pushing for the ban here have actually said, you know, we want to work with and seed this kind of movement to other countries as well. I'd also say, like, or maybe a little bit cynically, which is, you know, like the fact that Australia announced it so early that it was doing this and kind of introduced the law a year ago, but didn't really kick in for a year, gave a year to say, we're doing this, we're talking it up, it's a great idea, it's happening, without actually having to then, I guess, deal with the actual implementation, which, as we saw last week, was probably a little bit spottier than it was, you know, maybe hoped to be by the government.
I'm glad you mentioned that because we should talk about that. You're on Radio National Breakfast with me, Melissa Clark, and I'm talking with Crikey reporter Cam Wilson a week into the federal government's social media ban. So, Cam, how would you assess the first week of the rollout? How effective has it been at the initial stage of kicking under-16s off these major social media platforms?
It's a great question, and I don't want to dodge it because I don't want to be, you know, I want to give the answer. I would say that, let me put it this way. The first day in the early week was definitely, you know, marked by widespread coverage of teens circumventing the ban. You know, there's, you know, the year leading up to it, after passed the law, and before that as well, we always knew that there are a variety of ways that people could get around this, whether it's convincing the platforms and their methods of figuring out your age, that you're actually over 16, whether it's going to other platforms, whether it's even using things like VPNs, which essentially, you know, convinces these platforms you're in another country and therefore don't need to abide by these rules. And what we saw, I think, mainly in this first week was not really as much of those second ones and more of the fact that people and teens specifically, it appears, were able to trick a variety of the platform's measures to convince them that they're over 16. And so, yes, that was kind of, you know, widespread. You know, if you looked on social media, you saw a lot of people, you know, in the comment sections of Anthony Albanese, you saw a lot of people saying, we're still here, you didn't get rid of us, Anthony Albanese. So, you know, that was teenagers being teenagers, of course, you know, sticking it to the man and experimenting and playing with it. That being said, you know, like, I think it's important to kind of point out that one, of course, you know, the government from the very start, and particularly over the last few weeks, has said this is not going to be perfect. They will hone these techniques, you know, and it's the platforms are actually the ones who are implementing it. So, you know, the government no doubt is and has already requested using new information gathering powers to handle the law, information about how they're doing it. And I imagine that they will kind of keep a close eye on that. The other thing is, it's just very hard to say at this point because, you know, it's a bit of survivorship bias, right? If you go on social media, like I did, you know, just this morning I saw teens saying I got banned off one platform, but I'm still on here, or my main account got banned and I'm still on this alternate one. But you're only, of course, really going to hear from the ones who are still on there. We'll get information about how many accounts were kind of banned. We know that the government, specifically the eSafety Commissioner, is doing some like research that's going to be doing surveys so we can kind of look at, you know, other measures of how many teens are still on social media. So very hard to say exactly how effective it was. But I would say just generally, like the fact that the majority of Australians who use social media, you know, on December 10, when these measures were required to kick in, kind of went online and for the most part didn't actually get prompted to do anything to prove their age. Like, you know, I didn't get told on any of my major social media accounts, hey, you've got to put in your passport or scan your face ID. I think that's also a kind of measure of success insofar as, yes, some teens got around it, but also these measures weren't so onerous and they weren't so, you know, in your face to disrupt other people and their use of social media that wasn't supposed to be disrupted.
So that's a success in terms of the technological approaches some of the companies are taking to try and identify age by making it clear that someone like you, Cam, who is your age, they've been able to tell that actually we don't need to put you through these verification steps.
Yeah, the right old age of 35, they're like, you can be on here. I think, like, you know, this is this kind of balance and the government never really gave specific kind of information to the platforms about how accurate their systems had to be. But it's all balanced, it's trade-offs. It's like, you know, how sure do you need to be that someone is over 16 or based on the information you have on them, you know, the way that they use the platform, the people they connect with, that kind of stuff. how sure do you need to be that they're over 16 before you say, we need something more from you? Like, we can't just use the data we already have on you. We have to get you to scan your face or upload your ID. Mm. That's a kind of balance. And I think pretty clearly in the first week we saw that the platforms were like, let's make sure that we don't, you know, massively disrupt everyone when this day comes in. Let's not make every single person need to upload their ID.
I think that's been crucial in getting widespread support. Look, Cam, we're running out of time, but thank you very much for joining me. That's Cam Wilson, tech reporter at Crikey.